Today's daf from Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin He. And I think we should better start on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, even though we already did it, just to get back into the sugya, because we sort of had to stop right in the middle. So let's start five lines up from Amud Beis. Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, Tana Rabbana. Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad. So we're once again trying to figure out all of the interrelated issues that come into play in the question of the relationship between the Sfeikot and the Vada'im, and why it is that for some reason the opening Mishnah allowed the Sfeikos b'Sfeikos and Sfeikos b'Vada'i, and we built it all around the issues of whether Ma'ala Asu b'Yuchasim, or whether only Mamzer Vada'i Osir, or whether only Kahal Vada'i is Osir, and in the Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi about whether Kahal Gerim is considered to be Gerim. Now we get into more subtle issues. It's very fascinating. The differences between those Isurim where one sex of a child would be Osir and the other would be Mutter, which is sort of a rare occurrence, and where the parents would be usher, but the child would be mutter, which is sort of a rare occurrence. And it turns out that this makes a tremendous difference for halacha. So in other words, you could have a situation where a parent would be a mitzri sheni, and a child would be a mitzri shlishi, and would be mutter. You can have a situation in which a parent would be an amoni, a male, and the child would be an ammonit, a female. Therefore, the father would be usher, the child would be mutter. And then, obviously, in most cases, you have a complete consonance between what the din is of the psul and what the din is of the child. These were two special psukim that the Torah told us that we can have those cases of fascinating distinction. So let's take a look today and see how it turns out that those subtleties end up making a nafkamina in psul kuhuna. Tana Rabban, so starting five lines up from the bottom. Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad. So as we had yesterday, once a male is 9 years old, so he is capable of intercourse only because he has genitals. Otherwise, he's not, what appear to be genitals are not called genitals halacha. And therefore, we can only discuss a case where we want to passel someone in the case of a male, where the male is over 9, and of course, in the case of a female, where the female is over 3. So here, Tana Rabbanan, if we have a 9-year-old male, and he is a ger from Ammon, or from Moab, or he's a Mitzri, or he's an Adomi, or he's a Kuti, we'll get into the halakhas of the Kuti, which we've been ignoring so far, or he's a Natin, or he's a Chalal, or he's a Mamzer. So any of these, Shabob, Al HaKohenet, or Al HaLeviyah, or Al HaBat Yisrael, in any of these cases, they passel her. So if she is a Kohenet, they passel her from the Truma that she was eating until now. They passel her from marrying a Kohen. And if she was a Leviyah or Yisraelite, where she wasn't eating any Truma, obviously, until now, so then the psul is that she will not be able to marry a Kohen. So in all of these cases, the woman has been nivelet to somebody who is osur la, and because of that, he is posel for the kuhuna. Now, the problem is that Rabbi Yossi seems to say something different, even though it boils down to the same thing. Says Rabbi Yossi, well, you shouldn't put it that way, because it's really only where the zera of that marriage will be posel, so then the actual woman becomes posel. So Koshe is Zaro Pasul, so then Posel. But if he had children and the children wouldn't be Posel, then he would not Posel that woman Min HaKuhuna, which is the same thing, right? Because all cases are basically going to Posel, create Chalolos. They're going to Posel the child from the Kuhuna, or there's some other Psul. I don't understand what Rabbi Yossi is adding. Comes along, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Rabbi Yossi's way of saying it is also wrong. What you should say is, kol she'ata nosei et bito, where you would be allowed, if you're a Kohen, to marry this daughter, so then you can marry the woman when the husband dies, obviously. So you can't marry the woman if the husband divorced her if you're a Kohen. But if the husband dies, so you would be allowed to marry his widow. But kol she'ata nosei bito, if you can't marry his daughter, then you can't marry his almana. It's exactly the same thing. So now we've got three ways of saying the same thing. So let's try to figure out the difference between the Tanakama and Reb Yossi. Because everything that was listed by the Tanakama, the halacha is that their children are usur to marry a kohen. So when Reb Yossi says, well, don't look at the fact that the male was usur, look at the fact that the child is usur. I mean, what do I care? They're all going to be the same isser. Reb Yochanan, no, that's not true. Because there's one case where they're not all going to be the same isser. And that was the case of the Mitzri in the event that the male was a Mitzri Sheni. So you're 100% right that there's no heter whatsoever to actually consort with a Mitzri Sheni. And if you were looking at the Isser of the Bia itself, so then you're right. The woman should be parcel. And strangely, what Reb Yossi is coming along to say is that even though the Bia was Osura, however, since the child would not be parcel because he is a Mitzri Shlishi, therefore there's no Halolos. Wow. Ooh, okay. Where would you get that from? So, says the Gemara, because Shneim lo lemadu elami koin gadol ba'almana. If you take a look at the relationship of a koin gadol to an almana, what does it say over there? V'lo yechalel zar obama, right? Now, from there we learn, why does the Torah say lo yechalel and instead of v'lo yechal? So the idea of yechalel is that there are two chilulim that are involved. One is for the zaro, and the extra remez is that the woman is possible. So now let's take a look at how we make a general understanding of the nature of chalalut out of the din of Kohen Gadol ba'almana. Now remember that as Tosis points out, it's not that almana is the makar, because remember that the real source of all of this, I have this terrible feeling that Dr. Barry is trying to escape and actually go to sleep. No, I shouldn't be choshev b'ksher. So, v'im tomar, Tosfos asks, well, it's not true. We don't learn it out of Kohen Gadol me'almana. The makor of the din is from ki tiye le'ish zar. Namely, that the moment that a kohenet is with someone who is a zar in terms of a marriage, that once she's nivelet to someone who's pasul, she's psula. Tosfos points out that this type of limud that the Gemara says over here, we find in other places as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the ultimate shoresh of the halacha. It means that if you would have had a problem of fitting it into the case of the Kohen Gadol me'almana, then, of course, we wouldn't have been able to say any of these yeshitas. So how exactly does it fit into an example, which is the example of Almana l'Kohen Gadol, even though that can't be the source? That's what the Gemara means. So therefore, we have this machlokas. The Tana Kamasava, okay, how do we look at what the idea, what's the model of a Kohen Gadol and an Almana? Well, we say like this, just like a Kohen Gadol, if he takes an Almana, so then that means the Bia that he had with her was an Isser Lav. He's not allowed to take her. And it says, Beferish, Lo Yechalel, that the woman becomes Psula. So that's the deal. It's very simple. The model is that wherever we have a Bia Ba'avira, we have a woman who's Pasul. Okay, which is exactly what the Tanakama said. Whereas Reb Yossi says, now wait a minute. It's not absolutely true the way you're saying it. Because remember that we're learning it out, they're saying from Lo Yechalel Zaro. Okay, so in the case of the Kohen Gadol to an Almana, the child will be Pasul. I mean, isn't that the whole point? Lo Yechalel Zaro. So therefore, it's saying, if the child will be Pasul, so then Yechalel has a double meaning that the woman will also be Pasul. But in the event that the Zaro is not Posel, because by a Mitzri Sheni, the Zaro is not Posel, even though the father was Posel, the one who had the Bia is Posel, but since his child isn't Posel, meaning isn't Posel Bekahal, Because it says in the Torah Beferish, Banim asher yivaldu lehem dor shelishi yavo lehem bekal Hashem. So if it's a third generation, and the father was a first generation, it does not fit the pattern of lo yechalel zaro. Because it actually is not a case where the zero will be possible. So how would we say that the mother would be possible? Therefore, I, Taina, says Rabbi Yossi, the way that you stated it is simply not true. You cannot include all cases of Mitzri. You'd have to say the case of a Mitzri Rishon. And therefore, I want to make it clear. It's only where the child will be Osir Bikaha. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says even that doesn't take into consideration all of the real issues to say it perfectly. Because the way you said it, Rabbi Yossi, you said the child. Well, that means any child, male or female. I say, kol shata nose bito, what's important is the female child, not the male child. So if you, meaning Mr. Cohen, you are allowed to marry the child, meaning the female child, then you are, in fact, not usher in the almana, and she did not become a chalala. But in the event that the daughter would be asura to a kohen, koshi atanose et bitol, so then yatanose almanato. Isn't that the same thing? No. Ma'ika ben Rav Yossi Rav Shimon ben Gamliel brilliantly, says Ula, the difference would be if the male in this case, who had actually consorted with this woman, the Kohen at the Levi of Yisraeli, is where he was a ger amoni u'moavi. So there, if his child is a male, so then a male moavi or a male amoni is usher forever. And therefore, the woman would be, in fact, usher for the kuna. But since, if the din would be that the child is a female, that you would not have any kind of psul, because moavi v'lo moavit, then there comes out the big difference between the way Rabbi Yossi said it. Well, I don't care. I just care if any of the children are usher. And the way Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said it, well, I do care. It's only where you can't marry the daughter. And in this case, you can marry the daughter. Ha! And here too, Shneim lo lamadu, elami kohen gadol, bi almana. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, I'm learning it out from the Kohen Gadol. It says by the Kohen Gadol, lo yechalel zaro, and therefore, just like the model of the Kohen Gadol ba'amana, in a case where lo yechalel zaro, you're automatically being mechalel with a double lamed, you're being mechalel echad for the child and echad for the mother. So to any case, koshe zaro pasul, where you've got a child that's going to be pasul, then the woman that he slept with is also psulakuna. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, I also learned it out from Kohen Gadol Ba'amana. But the point of the Kohen Gadol Ba'amana, is there any difference if the Kohen Gadol sleeps with this almana and they have a female child or if they have a male child? Absolutely not. All of those children are usher for the kuhuna. The males obviously are halolim and they're not kosher at kohanim. And the females are considered to be halalot. And a kohen is usher from marrying a chalala. So what's the pshat? He was mechalal zaro, but all of zaro. So we can learn from there as a model. That in a case where you have any type of relationship where all of the children are usher, including the nekevos, afkol, shekol zaro pasol, afilo nekevot, so they, in fact, pasol these women from the kuhuna. Lafuki ger amoni moavi. Were over there, if they had children that were nekevot, those nekevot would be kosher lavo bekal. As a matter of fact, they're really also kosher to marry a kohen directly, as we said before. The Omar Mar, amoni velo amonit, moavi velo moavit, and therefore in that case, there would be no psul, and that is the big difference between the three shitot. So we have three shitot, according to the Tanakhama. The Isser is in terms of the Bia. According to Rabbi Yossi, the Isser would be if any of the children are possible. According to Rabbi Yishmael, we would be saying only if all of the children, only if all the children are possible. Fine. Now, we've got another question. Omer Rav Chisda, and you remember that we spoke about this special halacha we had in Ksuvos, big discussion about the concept of Almanat Isa. Frightening term because it's one of the most difficult sukkahs, as you recall, in how to define Almanat Isa and all of the questions about what type of chazaka works and this chazaka of one help for the offspring of the chazaka and is a suffix considered to be a suffix that equally will affect all aspects or is it viewed as a separate suffix if it now affects incredible differences. Obviously, we're not going to be getting into all of that again. But just to remind you, basically, that there were two fundamental approaches to what an Almanat Isa is. Barnea has been trying to shake up the Isa to show us first, I think, Tosis's chat. You want to just share some of that dough in there? Very, very good. Okay. So remember, according to Tosis, Almanat Isa means what Isa always means, right? Because he says, Isa means that something is mixed. That's the way we've been learning it until now. We've been talking this entire parak about whether Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Isa relative to Bavel, right? And so it's undoubtedly, according to Tosfos, that that's the way we're using the term. So what we're talking about over here is there was a suffix of Chalalut that got mixed into a particular family. So we're calling that an Isa, because we've got some kosher, and we've got some pasul, the pasul being the suffix chalal. And we know that someone in this family came from that chalal. We lost track. We don't know where the suffix chalal was. And now his widow does really have a double suffix, because first of all, she doesn't know whether her husband is the chalal that was mixed, so we can't define her necessarily as having had relationships with the chalal. And even if he really was the chalal that was mixed, it wasn't the chalal that was mixed. It was a safek chalal that was mixed. So, my gosh. Okay, it's easy to have the case like that, which is the case that Rashi talks about. A guy throws a get to his wife, Suffolk Korovla, all of the cases that we had before like that, and then he dies. Now, the question is, if it was Korovla, so then it was a good get. If it was Korovlo, then she's an Almana and not a Grusha. She goes ahead and marries a Kohen, and so, okay, what's the status of the child? Well, if she's an Almana, the child is perfectly okay, because only a Kohen Gadol is Asur Almana. But if she were a Grusha, because the get was actually Korovla, so then the child would be a halal. So we have a built-in question about what is this male? Is he a halal or not? So we have no idea if the Almona ended up marrying a Kohen. So that Kohen is always going to be, that's who we're talking about. So according to Rashi, that's who we're talking about. And he says that for some reason, this is not a regular case. Now, that's the question. Why would this not be a regular case of a suffix? So Rashi says, this is considered to be, as we explained there in Ksuvos, a sveik sveika. Now, there is no sveik sveika, according to Rashi. There's one single suffix. Was the get korov lo, or was the get korov lo? Out of that derives all of the issues. She was either an almana or a grusha. She married a kohen. The child is either a halal or not a halal. Very straightforward. But Rashi says, we don't treat that as a direct suffix. Why? Because a suffix that is a derivative of a suffix is also called a sveik sveika, even though there's only one issue in doubt. Now, Tosfos vehemently disagrees with that. How does that make it a sveik sveika? Remember, sveik sveika, we generally understood to be, for all intents and purposes, a question of a rov, right? In other words, most of, if we take the various possibilities, then most of the possibilities are in the direction of the heter over here. That's why sveik sveika is considered to be mutter, because it started off with 50-50 chance of iser. Then we whittled it down to 50-50 of that second chance. So it's basically a type of idea of rov. Of course, these were major discussions among the Achronim, how it is that, and the Rishonim, of how it is that we view the halachas of sveik sveika. But in any event, according to Tosfos, it really is a sveik sveika, because she doesn't know if she married the person who had gotten mixed, that's the Issa, had gotten mixed with the family, because that's what an Issa is. You never know if the piece that you took is coming from the Issa or not. And then let's say that it is, but the male itself that you were worried about marrying is himself a Suffolk. So you have a classic Sfeik Sfeik, according to Tosfos. Okay. Anyway, so getting back, that's the big machlokas we had about Almana Issa. We won't go further into it here. And Tainas Rav Chisda, that everyone in the Braita here would agree that for sure that the Almanat Issa is definitely Psula. So what's the basis of that? Because, look, Man Meiko, Bahane Tanoi, tell me, who is the most kal between the Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? It's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Because he says, well, even if you're allowed to marry her daughter, and you would not be allowed to marry a son into the kahal at all, nonetheless, you're allowed to be nosei almanato. That's what he said. A kohen is allowed to marry the almana, and he's mamish, very makel. Because according to the Tanakama, any bia itself that is usher creates chalalut. So he says, no, it's only a question of the daughter. Koshi atanose et bito, iatanose almanato. Okay, so what is that special then that he's saying, if you cannot marry his daughter, then you cannot marry his almana? Well, that itself, pasos lema'ute almanat isa, shepsula lekuhuna, take a look at the daughter. So what would be the din? The daughter of an almanat isa, since the daughter of a halal is usher to marry a kohen, and since the halacha is that suffik diraisa is lechumra, so then the daughter of a suffik halal is usher to a kohen. And even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that if the daughter is usher, so b'meila, the almana is usher. So it follows directly from our discussion before. Okay, and so what, is there like a big chiddush in what Rav Chisda is saying? I mean, yeah. No, there is a big chiddush, because not everybody agrees, actually, with Rav Chisda, lafuki minahani tanoi. Rav Chisda is explaining that even though we have a Mishnah and Idios, I bet you never thought about how that Mishnah ties into this, right? He's saying, even though you have a Mishnah in Idios, which is an Idios of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, al almanat isa shekshera lekuhuna. Why is she kshera lekuhuna? Because it's a Sfeik Sfeika. And a Sfeik Sfeika, we go lekula. So again, major difference, of course, between Rashi's concept of Sfeik Sfeika, which is not a normal Sfeik Sfeika at all. It's just that we're taking the suffix, the original suffix, which was the suffix or of la, which was originally applicable in one case. And now it became a question of what the son was, because that was a question of what the daughter was. So in the end, we have a suffix that comes out of another suffix. So now, in these cases, we have a chazaka, right? The only reason that we'd said, well, we're not going to go according to the chazaka of the kashrus of the woman, that's only because, if you're machmir, it's only because of mala asu biyuchsin. That's the way it came out in the end. So when do we say the mala asu biyuchsin? That's talking about where you have a vadai psul. Okay, but if you only have a suffix psul, and now the question is a sfeik sfeik about that, they didn't make the mala asu biyuchsin. Fine. Okay, so in this case, we're not going to be machmir. And that was the chiddush of the Edus. Masha Enkein comes along the chiddush in Rav Chisda that, well, you just saw that we have three Tanoim. And the most makel of those Tanoim would still say that Almanas Isa would be usher. Okay, so now getting back to our Mishnah. So we had the Mishnah that closes with Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Elazar says, Vada'an v'vada'an v'mutter, but you cannot marry Suffolk v'vada'an, or even Suffolk b'sveikan. Why? Because maybe one of them is a mamzer and the other one isn't, and then you're going to be over. On lo yavo mamzer. And we introduced this new idea also of the kusi, which we still don't quite understand, but which we'll get to. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that's how we pask. So when, says Rav Yehuda, when, we often find this with Rav Yehuda, because after Rav was nifter, he went to learn by Shmuel. So when I said this to Shmuel, that Rav had paskin, like Reb Eliezer, and only the Vadon, the Vadon or Mutter, he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, what's the matter with you? We have Hillel. I think Hillel HaZaken is pretty reliable, don't you? Well, we have Hillel saying, Asore Yuchsin Olumi Bova. V'chulam mutarim lavod zeh b'zeh. So all of the ones that are usher in the kahal are mutter in one another. How could anybody in his right mind say that the halacha is Rabbi Eliezer? That makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. But you know what? Neither does what you quoted from Rav and Shmuel make sense, because there's a fairish contradiction where each of them says exactly the opposite. Rami de Rav ad Rav, Rami de Shmuel ad Shmuel. Because we also have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in the case where you have an arusa she'ibra. Okay, so here you have a woman. She cannot attribute her child. Remember, we had this whole discussion by a Sufi and so on, by Shatuki. So basically, the only one that could have impregnated her without creating a mamzer is her own fiancé. But anybody else would be usher to her, as Eish as Eish, right? Okay, so over there we say, in the case where an arusa was Ibra, Rav said that Vlad is a mamzer, which basically seems to be saying, is a mamzer vadai, and Shmuel says, no, the Vlad is only a shtuki. Okay, so what does this mean to you? If Rav says the Vlad is a mamzer, so he is saying that he is allowed to go ahead and marry a mamzeres, because since 99% of the people in the world, and much more obviously, are not her husband, so they're all going to create mamzeres. So that makes it rov shebarov that the guy, the child is a mamzer, and therefore she might as well marry a mamzer at the child. Shmuel Amar, no, you can never know. The Vlad is only a shtuki. So if the Vlad is a shtuki, then she would be aser b'mamzeret. I mean, that's what you're adding when you say shtuki. So now you're reversing yourself. In this case, Rav says that she can marry a mamzeret. And before he said that a shtuki who is a suffix is actually aser b'mamzeret and halachic Reb Eliezer. I should say a lazer is the way that we've been learning it all the way through. Whereas Shmuel, who says, no, she's a shtuki, it's a suffix, and she cannot marry a mamzeret. I mean, what else would he be trying to say by saying she's a shtuki? He's saying the opposite of what he said before. He said before that, no, what do you mean? Hillel said they're all mutter one another, and a shtuki is allowed to marry a mamzeret. How do you explain that? There is no way to explain that. I mean, there must have been a mistake in how we said it over. It must be that we got it backwards, epoch. Rav was the one who said that the Vlad is a shtuki and therefore cannot be sure of his mamzeres, and therefore cannot marry a mamzeret. And it was Shmuel who said the Vlad is a mamzer, meaning that he's definitely mutter to marry a mamzeret because of Hillel HaZaken, right? No, because then why would we have two examples of the same machlokas? I don't get it. Why would we have one machlokas where we put it this way, the Vlad Shtuki and the Vlad Mamzer, and then we would have the other machlokas which boils down to the same thing, halachic Reb Eliezer, or I should say again, halachic Reb Eliezer, or you gotta be crazy, what happened to Hillel HaZaken? It's basically saying the same thing, no? No, it's not, because listen, tzricha, let's say that all that we would have had was Rav's mimer, the halacha k'Reb Eliezer, right? And he's saying a shtuki who is a suffix is usher in a mamzeret because you can't have a suffix of isser marrying the vadai. So I would have said, yes, that's true. But that's only in that case. But how come a Rav? Mishum de rov k'sherim etzla. The case over there, remember, were these fakes that we had in the Mishnah. And as we said over there, the shtuki was talking about a woman who was not an arusa. She was certainly not an asua, and somebody got her pregnant. Well, 99.9% of people who could have gotten her pregnant are certainly kosher. And therefore, when Rav was saying, Alibi de Rabbi Elazar, that she's Osir b'mamzeret, well, of course she's Osir, because she's almost undoubtedly kosher, so why should we be Mater and a mamzeret? Masha Einkein, in this case is talking about where she's an Arusa. The only guy in the whole world that could have gotten her pregnant without creating a mamzer is her own fiancé. So then that would be a case where you've got 99% of people that are going to create mamzeres. So maybe in that case, where Rav Psula Metzlah, maybe it would be Mona to Shmuel that Eina Chinami, she's muteret to marry her. He's muter to marry a mamzeres because, like, what are the chances that you're going to have someone who's not a mamzer? He's undoubtedly a mamzer. But on the other hand, let's say that Rav had only said that case, that in the case of the Arusa. So, of course, I would have said, well, naturally, Rav says over there that it's a suffix. Now, this is a completely different way of looking at it. The reason that it's a suffix is because, for heaven's sakes, a normal situation is that husband-to-be fools around with wife-to-be. So, I mean, what are the chances that it's somebody else? So, okay, so they carried things a little bit too far before the marriage, but... I mean, in these kind of cases, really anybody suspect that she's been carrying on with somebody else? The first thing that comes to mind is that her fiancé got her married, got her pregnant. So maybe that's the pshat. So in that case, maybe only there. And it has nothing to do with Rove because, I mean, we don't look at the Rove. We look at the Rove chances of who it was that got her pregnant, right? So Bahaka Amarav. There, if he would have said it in that case, he would have said, well, you know, the reason that Rav says it over there, because in practical terms, it's so reasonable that it was the chassan that got her pregnant. Now, Volhacha, Ema Marel Shmuel, I mean, you're talking about a shtuki. We don't know of any particular relationship that she has. So it could be anybody that got her pregnant. So maybe he would be minded to Shmuel. And that, look, you know, there's some serious issues over here of possible mamzeres. And therefore, we're not going to be machmer that only a vadai can marry a vadai. Therefore, I need to have both. I think that's a good explanation of why we needed both, just in terms of Rav himself. There's two ways of looking at it. If you look at the cold statistics without any taking into consideration the emotional context, the cold statistics are, you want to take a look at just DNA in the world. Okay, fine. But, I mean, the other way of looking at Rav would be to say that it's a function of the psychological probability. That's all. Why would we be looking at the cold statistics of who would be considered to create mamzeres? The real question is, who do you think actually got her pregnant? Well, when you look at it that way, then obviously it's a different question. So in order to avoid thinking that those points are the fundamental issues, we need to say that Rav in both cases said, Bichlal, wherever you have a suffix that you cannot define, that cannot marry, the Vada. That's all. She's passing like Rabbi Elazar, and we now know why we have to mention both, you know? But of course, that's only if the two cases are consistent. What about if they are as crazily inconsistent as we originally thought? What if we don't flip the shittas of Rav and Shmuel in the latter case where she did have a fiancé? So I could actually use that as a solution, and I could say, Ibaitema, you don't really need to flip Rav and Shmuel in the case of the woman who was an Arusa, because you misunderstood everything that was being said over there. You know what mamzer meant? Rav said, the Vlad is a mamzer. And you took for granted that that means, oh, he's a mamzer, so he can definitely marry a mamzer. That was the whole reason that you thought it was a contradiction, right? Here he's saying, oh, he's a mamzer, that means vadai mamzer. How do you know that that's what it means? When mamzer was used by Rav, that wasn't being said, he's a mamzer for sure, and therefore he can marry a mamzeret. All that Rav was saying is that he's a mamzer, and that he cannot marry a regular Bas Yisrael. That's the point. He was not saying that she's mutter b'mamzeret. And when Shmuel said, no, she's only, the Vlad is only a shtuki, not a mamzer. I wouldn't use that word. He also meant that she's asur b'bas Yisrael. He didn't mean to say that she's asura in a mamzer. What? What are you talking about? So you're telling me Rav and Shmuel weren't even arguing? They were saying the same thing, but using different words? So then I understand. What's the difference between them? They're both saying that the question is, she's a surah to a bas, a normal non-mamzer. Sahana de Rav. Oh, sorry. Okay. You're right. Fine. All right. Let me restate that. When Shmuel said that the child is a shtuki, he didn't mean the shtuki in the sense that we were using it for, and she's mutter b'mamzeres. She's not mutter b'mamzeres. He just meant a shtuki in a sense of, if there's any attempt to claim that this guy is a kohen, then shut it up. It cannot be. I don't give a hang who and how great a kohen the chosen was. The child is not a kohen. Obviously, the child is not a kohen. What are you talking about? Pshita. If the din is that a shtuki is not able to identify his child even in terms of his father, even in terms of whether he's a Yisrael, how do I need a Shmuel to tell me that he can't claim to be a Kohen and that his father, the Chassan, got him pregnant? Bad daddy. It's 20 years later now. Who cares, right? No, I don't need anybody to tell me that. Okay. Let me rethink this. Fine. So that couldn't be what Shmuel meant either. So you know what he might? I'll tell you what he meant. When he says he's a shtuki, it meant he cannot claim any share in his father's estate. That's what it means. Mishatkino eto minichse aviv. It says the Gemara, you know, you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. I mean, it's even stupider, obviously. What do you mean? I claim my father's estate. What father, kid? What are you talking about? Every time you called him daddy, your mother said, shut up, kid. And now all of a sudden, oh, yes, daddy has died and left me $300 million. No, I don't need Shmuel to tell me that. It's also pshita. Miyadina navu amani. Well, we know who the father is, that we can now allow him to get a share in the Yerusha. We'll kick him right out of court. Yeah, but Shmuel was talking about a case where he's not only a mamzer, he's a very smart mamzer, let me tell you. As soon as his putative father kicked the bucket, in he runs and grabs all of the cash. Okay. Now, guys, if you want to get the cash away from me, amotzi mechavero olavaraya, you know, I mean, can you prove that I'm not his son? No. Okay. Laughs all the way to the bank. Comes along Shmuel and says, no, Mishat Kimoto, we will actively take it away from him and take it back. Why, by the way, is it actually not true that I'm out to make Haver Olavarai in a case of Tfisa like this? Because you can only take Tfisa as meaningful if a person has a Tainas Vanai. If he himself doesn't know, what are we saying? We can't take it from you? Why did you take it? Who gave you the right to walk in? You're kind of Bialma, right? Okay. So if he doesn't have a Taina, then obviously we will take it from him. Okay, so that's what Shmuel wanted to clarify. And I could say that, you know what, maybe the point that Shmuel was making was actually like Abba Shaw. Shmuel was saying, listen, Rav, you're saying he's a mamzer, you know? I'm saying he's a shtuki in the sense of a beduki, meaning that we can be both kim et imo. And if she says the kosher nivalti, then she would be ne'emenet. So basically, that's what Abishol said, right? We said before, Abishol haya kore l'shtuki beduki. But Shmuel added this in the case where she was an arusa. I mean, for Abishol to say that anybody in that case could have been the father and she can identify the father, that's one thing. We're over here. What Shmuel is talking about, obviously she can't say somebody's the father. The only one that she can say is the father is her fiancé. Anybody else would have fathered a mamzer. And so that's what it means over here, that if she says that it's from my chosen, then she would be nemenes. That's what Shmuel would have meant. Wait, so then what would that mean? It would mean that we're going like Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel says that if a woman says, Miploni, Kohen, and Kosherhu, and so on, that we believe her. So you're telling me that basically what would Rabbi Gamliel be, Shmuel be saying to Rav? Well, actually, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, and this is another case like Rabbi Gamliel. But Shmuel already paskin that. because we know that in the Mishnah Ksuvos that we spoke about before, where Haitamu Uberet, this woman is walking around, obviously pregnant, and we ask her, what's the big belly about? Mativo shel Uber Zeh, and she says, well, the father is so-and-so, and he's a Kohen, and he's a great guy. You know, so Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that she's believed. And Rav Yehoshua was the one who says over there, in an MS, and Shmuel was quoted over there by Rav Yehuda as saying, halachic Rav Gamliel. So now you're saying that we can explain the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, that Shmuel meant shtuki in the sense of beduki, to tell me again, halachic Rav Gamliel. He said it on the Mishnah that halachic Rav Gamliel. Yeah, that's true, but it's not the same case, remember? Tzricha, we need both mamorim of Shmuel. Because if he said it only on, as Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said it on the Mishnah Ksuvos, we're over there, it was talking about that she is not an Arusa, and which means that anyone in the world could have gotten her pregnant, and as long as he wasn't Pasul, the child wouldn't be Pasul. Okay, so there you have a Rove, or Rover chair in that slot. So maybe over there, Halachic Rav Gamliel, that will believe what she's saying, because it confirms anyway the Chazaka and the Rove. So why shouldn't we? But over here, where she is an Arusa, and if anybody besides the chassan got her pregnant, so then the child would be a mamzer. So we're going to say, Davka, this was the one that got me pregnant. Maybe then we wouldn't believe her. Emelo, because of that, we need to know that both cases, Shmuel still holds. That's the halacha. By the way, I'm sure it's a little troubling to you of if we said that there's two completely different ways to look at it. Do we look at the chances of who it was that she slept with, or do we look at the percentage of people that are usher or mutter, right? So couldn't we have just used that as the answer to why it was that Rav and Shmuel flipped? We didn't even think of that. I mean, we used that as an answer to why we need both machlokas in. But we could have actually used it as an answer, right? We could have said that in one case, so Rav, we don't have any psychological element, Rav goes according to the Zera. And in the other case where we do have, Rav actually goes according to the chances, the emotional chances. And then Shmuel reversed himself because of exactly the same issues. I mean, I don't know, right? So it's pretty clear that when you make a tzrichas, I think this is generally an important thing to know, that when you make a tzrichas, it means we don't want you making a mistake and thinking that that would be a good enough reason to change your mind. We are not saying that it would actually be a good enough reason to change your mind, you see? So, yes, you're right. There are different issues that need to be taken into consideration in the case of the Arus or the case of the Pnuya. However, only insofar as you might have thought that Rav would have agreed to Shmuel in that case, or you might have thought that Shmuel agreed to Rav in that case. But if it comes to down to the wire, and it's actually a basis for trying to say there really is a difference and Rav actually changed his mind, that Atzrichas is not good enough. Meaning the svara of a tzrichas is not good enough to actually explain an epoch. You see, this is a klal, and it's a klal that the Maharsha speaks out. But you see it very clearly, like right here, is a perfect example. Okay. Anyway, going on with Rabbi Elazar, and in which we say that the Vadai is Vadai Mutter, but the Suffolk B'Suffolk is Usser, and the Suffolk B'Vadai is Usser. So remember, we had the question about the Kuti. And in the Braita, we add, Tanya, V'chein Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kuti lo yisa kutit. Now this is fascinating, because over here what we're saying is that there's some kind of Suffolk issue in the Kutim, which does not affect both of them equally, right? In other words, one, either the male might be a mamzer and the other one isn't, or whatever that iser is, or the female might be the mamzeres and the other one isn't. But which normally, I mean, that is not normally our concern about kutim. I mean, what we've been thinking about kutim all of these years is merely the question of, are they gerim kisherim or are they not gerim kisherim? But I mean, what would be the suffix that would make each particular case of the male might be one and the female might be another, and therefore they can't. What would that be? I mean, I never realized that there was an issue of sphagus that was involved in cursing. So what is the basis of that? So, I mean, why would they be considered to be suffic besuffic? I mean, it's not a suffic, not an individual suffic, right? It's a suffic about what the status is overall. So, I mean, either all of them are kosher, all of them aren't kosher. So what would actually be the issue? Well, so the question is, the Tanya. Sorry, the Omer of Yosef. Asa'uhu keger li'achar asara dorot. There's a concept of a ger after 10 generations of all gerim. So normally, a ger that marries a giyoret. So remember, we said we had that whole question. Until what point is the kahal gerim considered to be kahal gerim and not the typical kahal, if you hold that there is a difference? That was the machlok stream review. So it says in the Brisa that if you have a family that is always makpid to marry only gerim, so these two parents are gerim, their children marry other gerim, this keeps on going for 10 generations, that does not allow, after 10 generations, it does not allow the children to marry mamzerim, even if they know for sure that they are part of that same family, and we're always careful, we only marry gerim. Okay? So in that case, after a 10th generation, gerad asarat dorot mutar b'mamzeret, mikan ve'elach asur b'mamzeret, whereas others say, this is how the Rambam paskins, it has nothing to do with how many generations. It has to do with what people know about this family. So long as the family is considered to be a separate family that always marries gerim, so then fine, then they can rely on that, and they can marry mamzerim. But when people forget about that, and it's like, I don't know, maybe that could take 2 generations, or maybe it could take 12 generations. But once people relate to this family just like anybody else, and nobody even remembers that it's been a family of gerim for generation after generation, so at that point, already, now you can't marry a mamzeret because it looks terrible and people don't know that you are from that family. So the chachomim answered marrying a mamzer. So this is basically the same situation. So you don't know what the kusim, I mean, it's many generations ago that the kusim became gerim. I mean, what are you talking about? Excuse me? We're talking about gerim. Here we're talking about kusim with other kusim. What the heck are you talking about? The females and the males are both kusim. They're both, if you're going to treat the male as achras haradoros, then you'll treat the female. What am I missing? Me, dummy? I mean, the case that you were talking about is where you have this family of gerim where nobody remembers, right? But everybody knows who the mamzeret is. So you have a ger yashan that has been forgotten, and now you have a mamzeret that everyone's aware of. This is a mamzeret. So over there, since they don't know that this person comes from this only ger family, so they'll say, whoa, what is this? A Jew marrying a mamzeret? They're saying a bar Yisrael with the kanasi mamzeret, but over here they're both kusim. Whatever the status is of the female is the status of the male. So what do you mean you can't marry into each other? What is that? You didn't answer the question. You know, it's exactly the same. You want to treat them like gerim that have been forgotten in the Jewish. Fine. So then let them marry each other. Whatever you want. That can't be the reason. Eliki us Rivdimi. So Rivdimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said that, you know what this fara is? Rebbe Elazar holds like Rebbe Yishmael, and Rebbe Yishmael holds like Rebbe Akiva. That's the reason. Let me explain to you. Rebbe Elazar holds like Rebbe Yishmael. That's the original machlokas about whether kutim are real gerim, or whether we call them gerei arayot, arayot with an olive, not with an ayin, to all you Ashkenazim who can't tell the difference. And the idea over here is that the lions are what made them gerim. Now, in the event that you're not from South Africa. You also need to know the difference between lions and lines, right? This led to many problems with Akiva, but we are talking about lions, Akiva. Yes.
Are we sure that we're not talking about whether they're telling the truth or whether they're lying?
It gets even more complicated. But we are talking about lions, the animals. Rawr. Okay. So therefore, that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yishmael holds that these kutim, they are not really gerim. Remember what happened over here is that we had the transfer populations. So at the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, and then they moved these people from Kut, which is Kuta, which is why we call them Kutim, obviously, Teretz Yisrael, into the territory of the Aseres HaShvatim. And then they were attacked by these lions, and they didn't know what to do. Everywhere they went, there were always lions ready to eat them up. And they decided, the reason this is happening to us is because we don't really know much about the rules of the God of this particular territory. You know, it must be he wants you to keep mitzvahs. All right, so fine. So they go ahead in order to avoid being eaten up by lions, and they put a little mug and dovet around their throat, you know, and then every time a lion would come, they would wave the mug and dovet at him, and that was the reason that they became gerim. Fine. So that says Rabbi Yishmael, what kind of gerim is that? They were no interest in keeping of mitzvahs. All they wanted was the mug and dovet around their neck, right? Because the fact is that we know that they continued worshiping Avodah Zarah. So, you know, they're not really Jews. And Rabbi Shmuel also, he also took Rabbi Akiva. And remember, Rabbi Akiva Shita was that if you have an Eved or an Goy that is Baal Bas Yisrael, then the child is a Mamzer. So since people thought that these kutim are real gerim, and therefore they went ahead, some of them, and they intermarried with Jews, in which case, according to Rabbi Akiva, the children would be mamzerim. And if that's the case, then you never know which one of the kutim is really a generation after generation kuti, or who had Jewish blood mixed up with him, which would have made him a mamzer. So therefore, we taina that there's a different suffix on each one of them. That's why he said you can't marry suffix with suffix. Yeah, it's a great explanation, except for one unfortunate thing. It's not true. Because Rabbi Yishmael does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, because Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Minayin lo evik ha'chavim ve'evet shebo ala kohenet ve'ala levia ve'abat Yisrael shepesalua min ha'kahuna. Not that she's a mamzer. Pesalua min ha'kahuna. So you remember this halacha. A girl is born into a house of Kohanim, father is a Kohen, she eats truma her whole life, she eats the mura min hakochim, and now she becomes married to someone else, a Jew, and now the husband dies, or now the husband divorces her. If she doesn't have any children, so it says she goes back to Beis Aviyah Kinurea, and she continues eating truma. Even though we just had a few days ago, she does not eat mina mura min akasha. Fine, but she eats truma. Now, why does it say ki tihiyeh almana ugrusha? Because the point is, if the kind of marriage that she had to this person who passed her was a marriage that would allow a din of gerushin, or allow a din of almanut, because she was really married, then she goes back to her father's house. But if the husband was a goy, or if the husband was an eved, what are you talking about almanut? There was never havaya. What are you talking about grusha? There was never a marriage. So yotza ovik hachom in the eved, where there's no concept of almanut v'gerushin, and therefore he cannot allow her, after his death, or after he gives, so to speak, a divorce, a civil divorce, over there, we do not have that heter that she goes back to her father's home. Now, I ask you something. If you really believe that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the halachas like Rabbi Akiva and Mamzer, Yesh Mamzer Michai Ve'lavim, So if you're telling me that we're talking about an issue that creates mamzerus, obviously he parcels her with his bia. What do I need to have over here, this special halacha that all of a sudden now we're going to learn it out according to Rabbi Shmuel? We're going to learn it out from Mishi Yeshla Amanut V'Gerashin. It's mamish the same deal as an erva. If he holds like Rabbi Akiva, it pashut creates mamzerus. So that can't be the reason that Rebbe Elazar was saying it is because he holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. All right, cool it. Rabbi Shmuel does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. Rebbe Elazar holds of Rabbi Akiva. Ha! So if Rebbe Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rebbe Elazar holds of Rabbi Akiva, so then we have the same solution, okay? Ella. Rebbe Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel in the issue of whether Kutim or Keri Arayot. Yes. But Rebbe Elazar himself also holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that Ovi Kecham and Vyavad Alba Abbas Yisrael have Vlad Mamzer. There you go. So now everything is good, right? No. Not right. Because Rebbe Elazar does not hold Rabbi Akiva either. How do you know? Because Rebbe Elazar said in a brisa like this, "Af al pi shenech leku beit shamai ubeit hillel bit sarot." So even though we have this famous machlokus that we had back in Yevamos, is it saras erva? Is she petura from yibum or is she chayevet in yibum? So remember what that case is. A guy is married to two women. One of these women is perfectly unrelated to his brother and would be re'uya for yibum. Whereas the other woman is maybe his brother's daughter, you know, and certainly not Roy for Yibum in the event that he dies. And now he dies. So the halakha, according to Beis Hillel, is that both women do not get Yibum or Chalitza. Beit Shammai doesn't have that halakha about Tzoreis. And they hold that you do need Chalitza in order to become Muteret to the world, okay? So now, the din is, as Rebbe Elazar says, that even though we have this big machlokes, but they're still agreeing with each other that ein mamzer ela mishi isuro iser erva v'onosh kores. So they basically would agree that in this case, where there seems to be terrible danger over here, if you hold that you're chayev, according to Beit Shammai, you hold that you're chayiv if you're a tzoras erva, and you would certainly need to get chalitza, and if she goes out and marries somebody else, so then, according to Beis Hillel, the child would be a mamzer? No. Child wouldn't be a mamzer, says Rebbe Elazar. The child would be pogum. But since it's not an iser kores, it only says that lo tia eshes hamesh hachutza, so the child would not be a mamzer. So what does that mean? That Rebbe Elazar is saying exactly the formula that we're very well aware of. Ein mamzer ela michiev kores, which essentially says, I don't agree with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says, yesh mamzeres from a lav, and Rebbe Elazar is saying, there's no mamzeres from a lav. So what are you telling me, that Rebbe Elazar holds of Rabbi Akiva? He does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so we still have no idea what is going on over here with this issue of the kusim.